a wide range of topics, an even wider range of views. Talk About on Radio Kerry. Veterinary advice on Talk About with Danny the Vet. Brought to you by Pet Mania, Manor West Retail Park, Tralee.
Good afternoon, Danny.
Good afternoon, Deirdre.
How's everything with you?
Very well, thank you.
Good stuff, good stuff. Lots of questions for you, so we'll get down to business if you're ready to go. We'll start with a question from Amanda. She has a 12-year-old female greyhound who gets totally hysterical when she tries to cut her nails. She asks, is there anything I can give her to chill her out prior to the nail trimming process? I've never cut the quick. She just gets upset before I even get the clippers near her foot, says Amanda.
Yeah. First of all, anyway, she's 12, so the fear of the clipping is well ingrained. So it's going to be very, very difficult to stop that. I mean, there are things you can do. There's a drug you can get from your vet that actually chills them out and relaxes them. Like it can come in a tablet form, and that's probably, you know, if it was for occasional use, that's probably her best bet. Mentioned that it's a 12-year-old dog to them because not everything is safe. And in older animals, you know, the risk is a bit higher. But there are products that are quite safe. So I would say maybe giving something like that an hour or so beforehand just chills them out and reduces the fear somewhat.
Texter asks, is there a spray you can use for cats to stop them from scratching?
Yes and no. There is, but it doesn't work. You can use a spray on the furniture and things that supposedly stops them from scratching at the furniture. The problem with that is they'll find something else to go scratching. So your best bet then is to get, you can get these little posts. It's like a vertical stand, and you can put something like, you know, they've got a course like sandpaper that they can actually do their claws. And so to provide them with something to do it is probably your best bet, because with furniture, if you spray one, they'll just pick another one, or they'll pick something else to go at. So I'd say, you know, try, you know, get one of those little posts. It's like a scratching post that they actually can do their nails on. So something of that nature.
Now, this next one is a little bit long. It's a listener who has an 8-year-old Springer/Pointer female rescue dog. She says she's a complete nervous wreck, although she has improved a lot since I got her 4 years ago. But lately she seems to be licking herself a lot, her back two paws and one of her inside thighs licked to the point of opening the skin. I stop her every time I see her at it, but I think she does most of it when I'm not around. She is very attached to me. Is there anything I can do? My vet just told me to keep an eye on the sore bits and make sure they don't get infected.
Okay, right. There's a few things you can do. First of all, if she's doing it when you're not around, it could be a degree of separation anxiety. This fairly common in rescued dogs, in that they've great memory and they've had a rough life, and they have now found you're their life raft, and they cling on for dear life. That's trying to explain the situation. But few things you can do there. You can get plug-in devices, and they reduce a pheromone. You're not going to smell anything, but it's kind of a relaxing. It's like a chill thing. It helps them relax. And that helps to reduce separation anxiety. That's something you can do. The other thing I would worry about is if they're licking, is it just habit? In which case you can get a thing called a lick granuloma, that they keep licking at the same point until it gets infected. And then you get a nasty lesion. You have to put on an Elizabethan collar and put them on antibiotics to clear it up. And then sometimes they'll start doing the same again. Or are they licking it because of pain or because of a skin condition like an allergy? So maybe you might just say it to the vet. But if they've already investigated those, because sometimes, you know, if they've got a sore joint or whatever, or if they're itchy or whatever, they go licking at it, and in some cases, you may need to treat the underlying cause. But in some cases, it's just habit, and that's more problematic.
Now, we have a Cara Savine listener who, I think we've had this question before, Danny, but it's no harm to come back to it because I think it's a question that a lot of dog owners will relate to. This person in Cara Savine wants to know, are the more expensive dog foods better for your dog? There's a lot of dog food for sale in the likes of Aldi, Lidl and other supermarkets for a fraction of the price of some of the big brands.
Okay, well, then again, that applies to anything. You know, the bigger brands have bigger marketing. You know, the same as with human foods. So that's part of it. But the other part of it, though, is the quality of the food. Some of the, you know, for instance, a lot of people would say to us, you know, my dog prefers tin food, and you know. And it's a can of food is quite cheap. It isn't actually, because what you're paying for there is 90% water, and the actual amount of nutrients in it would be quite small. And if you worked it out, what can appear to be the more expensive food can actually work out to be cheaper. So it's complicated enough, but what you need to work out there is the daily recommended amount you're giving. And for instance, in some foods, the better food, the actual quantity of food you're giving could be as low as half of the cheaper foods because it hasn't got the nourishment. And the advantage of going with the more concentrated, better food is you have a lot less waste coming out the other end. And that's something that if a dog is indoors, anybody with a dog indoors will appreciate it. The less waste that's passed out the other end, the better.
And that's for
I'm
sure.
I'm trying to be as polite as I can coming up to dinner there. You know, it's difficult.
Apologies to anyone having munching on their ham sandwich.
So hard.
Yeah. Danny, actually, funnily enough, I know that, you know, if you are a dog owner and you look at pictures of dogs and videos of dogs on your social media, then you're in the algorithm and you keep getting all these ads for expensive dog food. And I know I'm obviously one of those people. I keep getting, and I'm sure loads of people do, this company is bombarding me, telling me they'll send me on this really high quality gourmet dog food and I can have it for a month for free if I just send on my address. And you know, it's full of stuff about, oh, this is the top nutrients and dogs will live longer and look better and everything. Is there merit in that? I mean, is there such a thing as gourmet dog food?
Well, so there's gourmet everything, but it needn't necessarily be any better. That's the issue. Definitely there's gourmet marketing anyway in this, you know. But I would, oh God, I hope I don't ruffle any feathers, but I would be aware, I would be a bit wary of anything that's advertised on Facebook or social media, because there is, you know, like anything that's advertised, it doesn't go through a process of, you know, of distinguishing which is good or bad or whatever. And if you make, maybe I'm wrong on this, but if you make false statements on social media, it's very hard to police them. Whereas if you actually advertise through a newspaper or through normal channels, and if something is obviously false, you know, you can be action can be taken against you. So I have become more and more and more wary.
Cynical, yeah, and wary, yeah. That's not to say, to be fair, I suppose that company does look like a reputable company and everything, but to be fair to them, but I do get your point, absolutely. We'll just have one more before we go to the break, Danny, and it's a pretty straightforward one. Christine asks you, is there much maintenance involved in getting a rabbit as a pet?
There's quite a bit, actually. You know, people think that the smaller pets are problem-free, but rabbits have behavioural issues and, you know, you have to have the proper food and you have to know about them and you have to watch their teeth. And there's quite a bit. And actually, they can get quite aggressive if they're not, you know, like, you know, male rabbits can become quite aggressive. So basically, you you to do your research well beforehand. It's they certainly wouldn't be something you'd buy on sort of impulse, because they look lovely and they're gorgeous, but they're live creatures and they require, you need to know your stuff, and they need proper management, proper housing, proper feeding and proper care.
And if you had a male rabbit and he got aggressive, like, what would he be up to? What would he be doing? I mean, a dog obviously
they can you see them stamping their feet, and they can bite you, and they can actually give you a fair old punch as well, you know.
A rabbit can hang on a second now.
They're quite strong, you know. They can be quite aggressive.
A rabbit can punch you.
Well, he can bite, and he can use his body physically against you. So they can do fair, and they can scratch. They can do quite a bit. I mean, like, I'll be honest with you, an aggressive rabbit is something to behold.
You've come across them over the years, Danny, I gather.
Yeah, a few times, yeah.
Have you been punched by a bunny?
No, but do you know what? I was just thinking of like, I have very little fear of dogs. I suppose I can read them very well, or even cats, actually. Even the cats are a little bit more less predictable. But the one thing that used to frighten the life out of me when I was in practice was geese.
Really?
I was really, you know, I could call me a wimp or whatever, but my God, they are scary creatures if they go. I think they were used in ancient times, for watching at night for attacking tribes or whatever. But geese now are something that I would be afraid of as well, you know.
That's gas. Danny, you're a wonder. I love hearing your hearing your stories over the years. Aggressive rabbits and scary geese. It's all on the Talk About Show, folks. Listen, I need to take a break now to gather my thoughts after all that information. Yeah. Keep your questions coming in, listeners. Back with more from Danny in a moment.
Talk About on Radio Kerry, sponsored by Kitty O'Shea's Seafood and Grill Restaurant, College Street, Killarney.
Veterinary advice on Talk About with Danny the Vet. Danny the Vet, brought to you by Petmania, Manor West Retail Park, Tralee.
Now, Danny, we're in trouble.
Yeah. Okay, no, what's new?
A caller has been on to say she was sitting down after her dinner with a cup of tea and a chocolate biscuit, and she had to turn off the radio with the talk of cutting greyhounds' toenails. She says, why on earth would you be talking about that while people are having their tea?
I know, it's a good question. I that's why almost 50% of what we talk about isn't suitable for lunchtime, really. So,
well, I suppose.
Unfortunately, that's it.
But you know what? Greyhounds' toenails are mild. You should hear some of the questions we have for Dr. Eamon on a Wednesday about humans and their ailments. But anyway, apologies to that lady. And I hope
we become kind of vets and veterinary nurses become, like,
immune.
You know, we don't notice what we're saying. But I do remember when I was a long, long time ago now, when I started in doing veterinary, the first year was in UCD, and like we were, like, there was a group of us there, and we were passionate about the veterinary and all this business, you know. And we went up to the restaurant, which was in one of the upper floors, and that was a communal restaurant. And we were sitting down at a big long table, and there was four or five girls on the opposite us, and we were sitting down and we were discussing what we thought were normal stuff, like we're talking about now. And I remember the girls got up in shock, left their dinner and just walked away. So we're I have to be very cautious in this. And like, I think, you know, and some of the stuff that we talk about as just matter of fact is like shocking to other people, you know.
It is, and I find that with Dr. Eamon as well. Nothing phases him. Questions that I might find kind of gross when I'm putting them to him.
Yeah.
And Eamon, a bit like yourself, doesn't bat an eyelid because he's seen it all before. Anyway, absolutely. We'll move on. Listener says, would Danny have any tips for a pug pup constantly jumping up on the table?
Okay, right. Basically, it's looking for attention. And what you do, if you have, and it's good that it's a pup, because, you know, you can control behavior much, much easier to teach them when they're young. So basically, what they really are looking for is your attention. And what I find, if they're doing something that you give them their attention, that's the reward. So what I would do in that case is I just pick up the pug, put him into another room and leave him. I wouldn't say a word, just leave him there for 10 or 15 minutes. And basically without nobody giving him any attention or her any attention. And basically what they'll very quickly learn is every time I do this, I'm put into Coventry and put into isolation for a while, and it's not getting the response that they want. So what I think there is, I remember once hearing you should ignore the behavior. That's not right. You should actually ignore the dog for a while afterwards, not the behavior. So basically, and that applies for anything that they're doing that you want them to stop. If they're like traditionally, like standard is if a pup is looking for your attention, they start barking. They come over to you first, start barking. And then if you ignore that, they start pawing at your leg. And if you ignore that, they jump up on your lap, try to get your attention. You have to hold firm and ignore the whole lot. And for about 10 minutes after, and that will stop very quickly.
Texter says, if a cat has fleas, is there a spray or a tablet to get rid of them?
Yeah, there is, but you also, oh my goodness, lunchtime again now. if a cat is indoors, for every one flea on your cat, there are 100 eggs in its bed and around the floor and in the living area and in the carpet in your house. And if you treat the cat with, by whatever means, you can kill the fleas that are on it, they're going to pick up more from the house again the following day. So basically, you need to treat, if your cat is indoors and if it's got fleas, your house has got fleas, you need to spray the whole area. And that's why a lot of the people say, oh my goodness, I treated the dog or the cat with fleas and it's still affected, and oh my goodness. The other thing is that fleas do not discriminate. No matter how posh your breed is, they don't care. So the fact that you paid a fortune for your dog or your cat, that animal is as prone to pick up fleas as the old commoner mug. So basically, what I would say really is if you have indoor pets and if they're going out and mixing with other animals, you need to be treating them routinely for fleas. You can get long-acting treatments now that you give a couple of times a year or whatever to prevent them from bringing fleas home, and you should do that as a preventative because, again, if your dog, say for instance your dog or your cat is out for, say your dog is out for a walk with you, they don't have to touch against another dog with fleas to pick up fleas. Fleas can jump. They can jump up to 40 feet, and they do like other dogs. They do like to move about. So basically, you need to treat, if you have a problem with fleas, you need to treat the house as well as all the animals, dogs and cats, etc., in the house. But you also need to take preventive measures, particularly over the summer months. They're more active over the summer months, tend to be less active. Now, you can have fleas indoors over the winter. They live lovely. They love central heating and stuff like that. And also, when you are doing the house, the flea eggs don't like bright areas. They move, and the little larvae move into the dark areas, under the chairs, in the corners, near the architraves. So you need to do a good, thorough job. And if you do that, you will get rid of the problem. If you just treat the animal, if it's an indoor animal, you won't get rid of it.
One final one, Danny, from Paula, and this is a good one, actually. She's wondering about whether she should get a dog or a cat. Now, I'm paraphrasing her comment because it was quite long. She has two children, aged 6 and 8. They want a pet. She's trying to decide dog or cat, which way to go, and she's wondering kind of what are the practicalities involved, what should she be taking into account?
Okay, the most important thing to take into account is that dogs are very sociable, social creatures. And if you're out of the house, if the house is empty for long periods, they will get bored. And when they get bored, they can get up to mischief and they can do damage. So if you're away a lot or from long periods, then a dog maybe isn't a great idea. If there's somebody in the house, it's fine. Cats, kind of are much better at adapting. Like if you're gone, they're not too bothered. You know, they just relax or rest or do whatever they do. And when you come back, then they'll have, you know, your cat will play with the kids or whatever. So basically, it depends. That's the main factor. The other thing, I suppose, is how much space you have. In that, dogs will need a lot of exercise. Depending on, well, all dogs need a lot of exercise. So if you're kind of the if there's somebody at home all the time, and if you're an active outdoorsy kind of family that do lots of walking, then a dog is probably a great idea. If not, in the modern society where couples both work and the kids are in a creche or something during the day, that's not a great environment for a dog, really. Whereas a cat will do fine there.
Very good. Listen, we'll have to leave it there, Danny. We got some questions in late for you, but unfortunately we've run out of time. But listen, great fun as always, great information. And we hope the lady who was having her cup of tea and her chocolate biscuit has switched back on by yeah. now.
I say avoid the first Friday in every month for your chocolate biscuit and tea.
Thanks a million, Danny. We'll talk to you again in October. That's Danny O'Sullivan there, our vet on the programme with this month's Veterinary Matters. Now we're going to be talking about the models in